Okay, good morning, everyone. This morning's shiur, as always, in Maseches Ksota, is sponsored by David and Paula Baumzer and OMO Construction Building Futures. Breakfast is sponsored by Begelmunch, Leonishma Spegabas, Chaim Shimon Ben Zev, Zev Ben David, Sarabas Shalom, Chaim Ben Yoshua Edel, by Yoshua and Edel Bas Moshe Yosef. We are learning Sota Daf Lamed Ches. We're at a very brand new Mishnah on the very bottom of Lamed Zayin Amid Beis. It's not just a brand new Mishnah, but we're moving on from all our discussion about Har Grizim and Har Eval and Yosef and all the Agadita there, and we're getting back into the halachic part of Maseches Sota with a new topic having to do with Birkas Kohanim. This is all the halachos of Birkas Kohanim jammed into, or many of the halachos of Birkas Kohanim jammed into Daf Lamed Ches. And we started the Mishnah on the bottom of Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, where it says, Birkas Kohanim Ketzad. How does Birkas Kohanim work? So the Torah has the psukim of Birkas Kohanim, and it talks about Aaron and his sons and Kohanim throughout the generations, blessing Klal Yisrael with them, but it doesn't talk about the mechanics specifically. That's what we're going to talk about. Birkas Kohanim Ketzad. B'medina Omer Osa Shalosh Brachos. So Birkas Kohanim is split up into really into three sections, right? Yivrecha, Shem Yishmerecha, Yoyer, and Yisa, right? And each one of them, as we know from when we duchen on Yontif, ends with an Amen. So each one is a separate bracha. And so the Mishnah says, B'medina, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, like we do, Omer Osa Shalosh Brachos. Like we do, it's split into three separate brachos, and each one gets its Amen, gets its own Amen. Uva Mikdash, however, in the Beis HaMikdash, when they did Birkas Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, bracha achas. It was said as one long bracha without an interruption of amen in between. And Rashi points out that that's because they didn't say amen in the Beis HaMikdash. Whenever they might say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso, we will invite from time to time when they would say the Shem HaMeforash, but you weren't to hear the word amen in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, in the Beis HaMikdash, it was just said as one long sentence, one long bracha. Another distinction is B'mikdash Omer es Hashem kichsavo. When they came to the Shem of Hashem in the Birkas Kohanim, in the Beis HaMikdash, they would actually read it as it's vowelized and as it's written with the Yud Kei Vav Kei, as opposed to, as we know, B'medina Bikinu Yo. We don't say the Shem HaMefurash, we don't say Yud Kei Vav Kei aloud. We do it, as Rashi points out, Bikuni Yov, be Aleph Dalet, with, you know, Adonai. That's how we say it, rather than using the Shem HaMefurash. Another distinction is B'medina Kohanim Nosim Es Yadam Keneged Kasfeim. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim raise their hands when they do the Birkas Kohanim as high as their shoulders. They kind of raise it up like that. B'Mikdash Agave Rasheyan. And in the Beis HaMikdash, they would raise it higher. They'd raise it a head's length higher above the head. Chutz mi Kohen Gadol, except that even in the Mikdash, the Kohen Gadol would not raise it higher than his head. She'eno magbias yadav l'mala min atzitz, because the tzitz has the Shem HaMeforash on, and it would be inappropriate for him to raise his hands above the Shem HaMeforash. That should be the highest thing. So since he's wearing the tzitz, he keeps his hands, I guess, at shoulder length or just slightly below the tzitz, even in the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, however, Rabbi Yehuda says, Af Kohen Gadol Magbia Yadav L'mala Min Atzitz. Even the Kohen Gadol would raise his hands, even though they went higher than the tzitz. And the reason for that is because the pasuk says, Shemar Vayisa Aaron Es Yadav, and Aaron is the Kohen Gadol, Vayisa Aaron Es Yadav Elam Vayivarechem. The pasuk says that he's raising his hands. That implies that he's raising them high, even above the tzitz. That's the Mishnah. The Gemara now is going to quote just brisa after brisa with like a staccato burst of halachos relating to Birkas Kohanim straight through the bottom of the Amud. Before we do that, let's just mention the obvious question that jumps out at us is the Mishnah here is assuming, and as we'll see, the Gemara is assuming that Birkas Kohanim is actually a mitzvah d'oraisa. It says in the pasuk that the Kohanim should bless the people, and you'll see on Amud Beis, it's connected to davening, it's connected to the Avoda, it's said at Ritzei because it's said at a time that invokes reminds us of the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, and it was said in the Beis HaMikdash, so that's why it's placed there in Shemoneh Esrei. But the question is, why is it that in Chutz La'aretz we have this minhag not to do it other than on the Shalosh Regalim? right? And on Yom Kippur, on holidays. Whereas in Eretz Yisrael, they do it every day. Sfardim do it every day also. But where does this minhag come from? So this is one of those questions that where the question is better than the answer. The Ramah gives an answer, and the Chassam Sofer gives an answer, but they kind of leave you still wondering why. The Ramah says that it's because Birkas Kohanim needs simcha. People need to be happy. And as long as people are tied down by their work obligations and their obligation to make a parnasa, they're not fully happy. And on Yontif, you're really, really happy because, you know, you're off from work. And that's why we do Birkas Kohanim on Yontif. I don't know. It doesn't... Shabbos is only one day off, so it's not enough of a break. But I don't know. It's an answer that kind of leaves you wondering, okay, well, you know, why isn't every mitzvah like that? Why do we put on tefillin every day? Maybe tefillin also needs simcha, and you should only do it. And why in Eretz Yisrael they don't worry about parnassah? You know, the Chassam Sofer says that it has to do with the avoda and tefillah, as we pointed out. And our kavana nowadays is no good, and therefore we just kind of push this aside and don't do Birkas Kohanim for that reason, but it also kind of leaves you wondering, like, why do we even daven then? And why in Israel are they doing it and not here? So the answer is, those are kind of the answers that are out there. It turned out that there was a time, you know, we're talking about 200 years ago, 300 years ago, where there was an attempt by some Gedolim to reinstitute Birkas Kohanim in Chutz La'aretz. So the Netziv reports that the Vilna Gaon tried to do it. And the story goes that the night before he was going to reinstitute Birkas Kohanim, someone was malshing him to the authorities that he had done something wrong. And he was arrested. He spent the night in jail. And he took that as kind of an omen that, okay, maybe this wasn't a good idea. And then a similar thing happened with Rav Chaim Volozhin. Rav Chaim Volozhin apparently was going to reinstitute Birkas Kohanim, even in Chutz La'aretz. And in the shul that he davened in, where he was going to start this up, the night before, a fire broke out and burnt down the shul. So it seems like it's a bad idea to try to start it. And I guess since then, people haven't tried to tinker with it. And we don't do it. Apparently, there were attempts by the Aruch HaShulchan says that two Gedolim tried to start it. Apparently, they were the Baal HaTanya and the Vilna Gaon. So you had both Chassidim and the Misnagdim both trying it on their own. And it didn't work. And that's the history of Birkas Kohanim.
Because the Rabbi Wasserman wanted to do the old building as a way so that there'd be a fire.
Oh, yeah? This is an insurance play. I think it's really, it sounds like it's minhag based. Like, there's no halachic distinction that's obvious to distinguish between Israel and here. I wonder, I'm not sure, I'm speculating, I wonder, a lot of the minhagim in Israel come from the Vilna Gaon, because his Talmidim were the first ones to make Aliyah, and they formed the old Yishuv. So it could be that this is tied to the fact that Vilna Gaon was focused on this. His plan failed with the, you know, the burning of the, or whatever, with his arrest in Chuzar. Maybe his Talmidim were all, you know, charged up about this idea, and then they instituted there, and maybe, I'm not sure. I don't know if that's the case. But I think it's all kind of just how the Minhagim flowed, rather than any specific idea of Kedusha Eretz Yisrael or something like that. It's not a mitzvah tuliyah baretz, you know.
My brother once asked his rabbi, what's better? Because he had a minyan at 6 a.m. the nights, yeah. Or at 7 a.m. where they had a kohen for Birkat Kohanim.
Yeah.
So the rabbi said, even though there's such a mile to daven for a night, he says the Birkat Kohanim overpowers
to get
it.
The Birkat Kohanim.
Go at 7 a.m. Don't go for the, you know, unless you have a kohen there. So yeah, the Birkat Kohanim is like higher madriga.
Yeah. I know there are Ashkenazi, like Rabbanim, Gedolim, I think, who live in Israel, and because they live in Israel, they have Birkas Kohanim. And when they come to America, they're makpid to daven in Sfardim and Yom, so they don't miss out on Birkas Kohanim. Uh-huh. Yeah.
In Florida, I do it twice.
What?
I'm a Moroccan minion in Florida.
Yeah.
I do it Shacharis and Musaf.
So they invite. They do it both. Invite Ashkenaz. Yeah. So yeah. We invite Ashkenaz. A lot of times we're in a Sephardi shul and there's a small minion. There's no Kohen.
There's no Kohen.
But there's a neighbor who's an Ashkenaz and a Kohen. We invite him, so he becomes a part of the minyan, and he does it every duchens every single day.
Oh yeah. So lucky Kohen. Yeah.
A lot of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Okay. All right. So the Gemara now is going to kind of run through a whole bunch of various halachos on Birkas Kohanim. Tana Rabbanan. The rabbi is learning. We have a brisa. Kosavarchu. The pasuk says Kosavarchu es daber el Aaron veel banav leimar Kosavarchu es bnei Yisrael amor lehem. Right. This is how you should bless them, and then the psukim go on with the formula. And the brisa here says Kosavarchu. This is the way you should bless it. Dafka this way, meaning the way the psukim recite it, belashon hakodesh should be said in Hebrew. You're not supposed to get up and do it in translation. Gemara says, is that really a proof? Ata umer belashon hakodesh, oino elo b'chol lashon. How do you know? Maybe kosav aruchu means it could be said in any lashon. And so the Gemara clarifies, nemar kan kosav aruchu. It says here by Birkas Kohanim kosav aruchu. V'nemar lahalan ela yamdu levarich esam. Later on in the Pesukim, it says, by Har Grizim and Har Eval, Elo Yamdu Avarech Esa'am, Ma'lo Halan B'Lashon HaKodesh, Afkan B'Lashon HaKodesh. Just like Har Grizim and Har Eval was done in Lashon HaKodesh, so the Limud and the fact that it says Levarech or Kosavarechu, that commonality of words, that Hekesh means that you do, or that Gzer Shava means that you do it in Lashon HaKodesh. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, you don't need that limud. Right? Rabbi Yehuda says you don't need that gzer shava from Har Gizim and Ha'evar. It's the play on the word here is ko. This is the way you should do it, implying that this is the way you should do it. You have to do it this way, meaning the way it's written in the psukim in Lashon HaKodesh in Hebrew. Tanya Ida. We have another brisa that says kosav varachu b'amida. That when the pasuk says kosavarchu, it's teaching you have to do it standing up. Ata umir b'amida o'eno ela afigo b'yeshiva. Is that really compelling? Does it have to be b'amida? Why? How do you learn that from the pasuk? So the Gemara clarifies: nemar kan kosavarchu, v'nemar alalan elo yamdu levarich. Same gzer shava, right? Over there, over here, it says kosavarchu. This is the way you should do it, using the word sevarchu barich. And by Har Grizim and Har Eval, the pasuk also uses the word barich. So mala halan b'amida, just like Har Grizim and Har Eval were standing, that was the way it was done. Afkan b'amida, that teaches you that here too you have to do it standing. Rav Nasan Omer eino tzarech, he says you don't need that limud. Harayu Omer, because you have a different way of learning that you have to do it standing. Harayu Omer lishar so uvarich bishmo. That's what the pasuk says. Ma mishares b'amida. Af mevarich b'amida. Lishar so means to serve him, referring to the avoda, the seder of the karbanos in the Beis Hamikdash, and it says it right next to ulvarich b'shmo, and to bless in his name, meaning there's a hekesh from the sherus, the avoda, the way it was the karbanos were brought to the way that Birkas Kohanim was done. So just like the avoda was done b'amida, you brought karbanos standing. You have to stand when you bring karbanos. Af mevarich b'amida, so too the blessing has to be done standing. How do we know that the avoda itself has to be done standing? Umishares gufei minal, and how do you know that itself? Tichsiv la'amod l'shares. The pasuk says to stand and to serve, indicating that you have to do the avoda standing, and so therefore you learn from there that you have to do Birkas Kohanim standing as well. Tanya Idach, we have another brisa. Kosav aruchu. That this is the way you should bless. B'nesias kapayim. You have to do it with raising your hands, like the Kohanim do. Ata omer b'nesias kapayim, o'eno elo shalo b'nesias kapayim. What's compelling about the words kosav aruchu that teach you nesias kapayim davka? Maybe it's you don't have to do it with the hands lifted. So the Gemara answer is nemar kan kosav aruchu. It says here kosav aruchu by Birkas Kohanim. V'nemar lahalon v'yisa aron es yadov elam v'yivarechem. That Aaron raised his hands specifically and blessed him. So just like that instance of blessing by Aaron was done with Nesias Kapayim by raising his hands, so too, right, the Gemara says, Ma'alam ben Nesias Kapayim, just like that was done with raising hands, Afkan ben Nesias Kapayim. This instance also, meaning every other instance of Birkas Kohanim, of the Kohanim blessing, has to be done with their hands raised, modeled after that one instance where Aaron did it, because, again, there's the commonality of the word Sevarchu and Vayivarechem in those two psukim. However, Rabbi Yonasan did not like that limit. Kashi Lego Rabbi Yonasan. he didn't like to learn it from that one instance where Aaron did it, because he said, "Ima lahalan kohen gadol v'rosh chodesh v'avodah sibur afkan kohen gadol v'rosh chodesh v'avodah sibur." He says, "How can you learn a halacha about Birkas Kohanim generally from the one instance where Aaron did it in the Chumash?" Aaron, that was different in three respects. He was the Kohen Gadol, and we know that Birkas Kohanim generally is not limited to the Kohen Gadol. Any Kohen can do Birkas Kohanim. He did a Dafka on Rosh Chodesh, and he did a Dafka on Rosh Chodesh, and we know that Birkas Kohanim is not limited to Rosh Chodesh. And he did it in, you know, in public with everyone there at the Hakamas HaMishkan. That was the instance in which he did it. What it was, a Rosh Chodesh, it was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, right? Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Hakamas HaMishkan, that's when he did it. And so, is that to imply that, okay, that we're, if we're going to learn from the fact that it says Vayivarechem there and Kosavarechem here, that all the halachos should apply? If that's the case, we'd be limited to the Kohen Gadol, to Rosh Chodesh, and or maybe even Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and to the Hakamas HaMishkan, to the Avos HaSibur. So Rabbi Yonasan doesn't like the limud. So Rav Nassan comes in and saves him. Rav Nassan Omer, Einot Sarach. You don't need that limud to teach the halacha that it's done with raising hands. You can learn it from the following. Harehu Omer, Hu Uvanav Kol Hayamim. Hu Uvanav Kol Hayamim. That Aaron and his sons do this all the days. Makish Banav Lo. Mahu b'nesias kapayim, af banav b'nesias kapayim. That pasuk itself teaches you that the way that Aaron HaKohen did Birkas Kohanim, it should be done the same way by his sons for all generations. And just like Aaron HaKohen did it by raising his hands, his sons throughout the generations should also do it by raising their hands. V'ksiv kol hayamim, v'iskash bracha l'sheiros. So it says kol hayamim, it says that all the days, meaning that's the way Birkas Kohanim should be done even in the future. Viskash bracha l'sheiros. Rashi clarifies here, he's kind of just closing the loop. Komer v'af agav de'bahaykra lav bracha k'siva. Right? Even though the hekesh that Rabbi Yonah's son didn't like, had the benefit of it is that they had the commonality of the words vayivarechem and kosavarechu. This one is missing that. Here it's just a description that says hu banav kol hayamim. So it's not clear that that's necessarily instructing us how Birkas Kohanim should be done all generations. Maybe it's just saying that something else should be done with Nesias Kapayim or something like that. So the Gemara just closes the loop by saying, Briskash Bracha L'Sheiros. There it says specifically Bracha, and we have said before again that Bracha is connected to Sheiros. So that Pasuk, who of enough call human, which maybe is talking about, which might just be talking about the Sheiros, the Avoda, but because the Bracha is connected to the Avoda, so that closes the loop and says that this Pasuk is referring to, or may also be referring to Birkas Kohanim, and that's an alternative way of learning it that's not pigeonholed to the specifics of the way Aaron did it on Rosh Chodesh and with the Kohen Gadol and Avoda Sibur at the Kamas HaMishkan, and that's how you learn out that it's done with an Asiyas Kapai. V'tan Yidach, we have another braisa that says, Kosavarchu es b'nei Yisrael, that this is the way you should bless b'nei Yisrael, b'shem ha-meforash, that it should be done by actually reciting Yud Kei Vav Kei the way that it was done in the Beis Hamikdash, the Shem ha-meforash. Gemara then says, Ata Omer b'shem ha-meforash, en elo b'kinoi. How do you know, what's so compelling about the words Kosavarchu es b'nei Yisrael that teaches you that it should be specifically said with the Shema Meforesh? Maybe it can also be said with the Kinoy of the Shema Meforesh, the way we do it. Talmud Lomar, V'samo, what is it? V'samu es Shemi. That's the way the Pasuk says, that my name should be placed, again, in the context of Birkas Kohanim, it's V'samu es Shemi al b'nei Yisrael v'ani avarechein, that I will bless them. Shemi ha-miyuchad li. It says Shemi, my name, and that's not just any name, it's my specific name, the name that is limited to me, meaning the Shema Meforesh. Yachol af b'gvulin, so now we have a puzzle now that teaches you that it should be said with the Shema Meforesh, maybe, and we know that that's in the Beis HaMikdash, maybe it should be said even in Passaic, New Jersey with the Shema Meforesh, even outside of the Beis HaMikdash, it should be said with the Shema Meforesh. Yachal af b'gvolim kain, Nemar kan v'samu es shemi, v'nemar lalan lasum es shemo sham. So that commonality of sima, right? V'samu and lasum. So the pasuk that says that it should be said with the Shema Mephorosh has in common with this pasuk that it's lasum. And this pasuk says lasum es shemo sham, that his name should be placed there. What is there? Malalan, that pasuk is referring to the Beis HaMikdash specifically. Malalan Beis HaBechira, Afkan Beis HaBechira. So to hear the instruction to say it with the Shema Mephorosh is limited to the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Yoshe has a different way of doing it. Rav Yoshe Omer Eino Tzarech, you don't need that limud. Hariyu Omer Bekol Makom Asher Azkir Shemi Avoi Lecha Uberach Kicha, right? In every place that you mention my name, I will come there. So the Gemara says, "Bechol makom salka daitach." Can it be that Hashem will respond to you invoking His name in every place? So the Gemara clarifies, "El mikra zem misurasu." It's kind of miscombobulated, and you have to rework the pasuk to say the following: "Bechol makom asher avo elecha ubirachticha." In every place that I will come and bless you, sham azkira shemi. There you will mention my name. Ve'ichan avo elecha uberachticha. Where is the place where I'm supposed to bless you, or where I bless you? The Beis HaBechira. That's primarily done in the Beis HaMikdash. Sham azkira shemi beBeis HaBechira. So since it's specific to the Beis HaMikdash in that part of the pasuk, so the pasuk of Shama Azkira Shemi is also specific to the Beis HaMikdash, and that teaches you an alternative way of learning that it's only in the Beis HaMikdash that the Shem HaMefurash is recited. Next, the Braisa. Tanya Yidach, we have another Braisa. Kosavarchu es b'nei Yisrael. We're learning a lot of things from this one pasuk, which is interesting, because usually the Gemara would harp on that and say you can only learn one thing from it. But here the Gemara doesn't ask that. Ingliel b'nei Yisrael. So it sounds like Kosavarchu es b'nei Yisrael, you should bless b'nei Yisrael. It sounds like you should only bless men, right, the b'nei Yisrael, the men. Gerim, what about converts? Nashim, women, avadim, meshuchrarim, freed slaves, minayin. How do you know that they also benefit from Birkas Kohanim? Talmud Lomar, emor lahem, l'kulu. The phrase emor lahem, to them, is a more inclusive way of saying it, and that implies that everyone gets the benefit of the Birkas Kohanim, not just specifically Bnei Yisrael, not just specifically the men. Tanya Yidach, Levin Rabbarisa, Kosavarchu, Panim Keneged Panim, that you should bless them, and the implication is, or the drush is, that you have to do it face to face. We know that the Kohanim turn around and face the Tzibur in order to do Birkas Kohanim. We're going to, in a few Dapim, I'll talk about that on the Mem or so, that practice of turning around. But the result is that the Kohanim are actually facing the people. The people are facing the Kohanim. Ata Omer Panim Keneged Panim. Is that true? That that's what the Pasuk means when it says Kosavarchu, that you should do it this way, that it's face-to-face? Oina Ola Panim Keneged Oref. Maybe the people could turn their neck away and then just have the Kohanim bless the back of their necks. What's to say that they have to be face-to-face? Talmud Omer Amor Lahem Adam Hamomer Lechavero. So it teaches you, right, because the pasuk says that Morlem, speak to them. It sounds like a conversation. So it means like people normally converse. When people normally converse, they're facing one to another. To answer the question, by the way, of how we get away with the fact that we say Kosavarchu, in each one of these braises, we open it up by saying Kosavarchu teaches you, but then the Braisa kind of says, well, that's not really so compelling, and he uses a different part of the pasuk to teach that specific halacha. So it's not like we're really learning each of these halachas from Kosavarchu. It's just a common way that these braises open up. Ultimately, they're learning them from different parts of the pasukim, as we see from each of these. Next braisa, Tanya Idach Kosavarchu. Another braisa says, this is the way you should bless, Bikol Ram, that you should do it out loud in a pronounced way. Kosavarchu Bikol Ram. Here they skip the middle. They say, "Oh, eno el balachash." Maybe it should only be quietly. Talmud Omer emor lahem kaadam shomer el chavero. That this is subsumed into that drasha, that you have to do it as if in a conversational way, just like when people talk in conversation, they face each other, and that's how we learn that the Kohanim should face the people should face the Kohanim. So too, another element of doing it in a conversational way is that you do it out loud so that people can hear you. You don't just whisper, you don't just mumble it under your breath. Okay, Amar Abaye. So Abaye says the following halacha. We're finished with all the prices, now we're back to Abaye. Abaye says, Naktinan, I hold, l'shnayim kore kohanim, right? When the chazan introduces the birkas kohanim, he says kohanim, referring to the kohanim standing up there on the bima. So Abaye says that's true, or you do that, when there are at least two people, because kohanim is plural. So he says kohanim. U'echad eno kore kohen. But if there's just one kohen present, then you don't say kohen. First of all, that sounds weird, because we're steering kohanim. But you don't do that. And the reason for that is because shenemar emor lahem v'shnayim. The pasuk says you should call out to them, to two. So the single kohen is there. We'll do birkas kohanim. But you won't get that introduction of kohanim. You just skip that part. That's Abaye's halacha. V'yomer Rav Chista. Rav Chista has another halacha. Naktina, and I hold kohen kore kohanim. Vein Yisrael kore kohanim. So the way Rav Chista had it is that the chazan, ideally, should be a kohen himself. Because Rashi says, Im shliach tzibur kohen, if the shliach tzibur is a kohen, if shliach tzibur kohen, who kore umazir es chaverav haomdim lefanav? Those are his fellow kohanim. So then he says, kohanim, my fellow kohanim. V'achzir p'nei l'varach Yisrael, v'im Yisrael hu eno kore kohanim. Rav Chista had this halacha that it's only the kohen, only a kohen would say kohanim as a call to his fellow kohanim. V'ein Yisrael kore kohanim. But Yisrael doesn't call Kohanim Shinemar, because the pasuk says Emor Lahem Amira Misha Lahem. Amor Lahem means to them, it sounds like only from his group, from his cohort, only then does he call Kohanim. That's not the way we paskin, because the Gemara says Vilchasa Kavase Dabaye. We do paskin like Abaye, that if it's just one, you skip the word Kohanim, you don't say Kohanim, you don't say Kohen. V'les hilchus ha-kavasei d'Rav Chista, but we don't hold the Rav Chista. We don't, as we know, we don't prefer that the shliach tzibur be a kohen, and it's not only if the shliach tzibur is a kohen that he calls kohanim, even when the shliach tzibur, as is more common, is a Yisrael, he'll call out kohanim, unlike the shita of Rav Chista. Okay. Just a brief mention, I talked about kind of that everyone should be facing the Kohanim. We know famously that you're supposed to cover your head with a talus or just not look at the Kohanim. Mm-hmm. The Mishnah Brura says that it's because of Hesach Hadas. You're supposed to be concentrating on the Bracha, and we're afraid that if you're staring at the Kohanim or staring at other places, that you're going to lose your concentration. But the Mishnah Brura says what?
You're not going to go blind.
So the Mishnah Brura says specifically that here nowadays, that's the concern, Hesach Hadas. And he says that therefore, if you happen to just catch a glance of them, you're not going to go blind. Nothing terrible is going to happen to you. It's not the end of the world. And, you know, the prohibition, so to speak, against looking at the Kohanim is just like any prohibition of looking at, and you shouldn't be looking at a magazine either, you know, and it's not like this special heebie-jeebie kind of thing. As opposed to, he points out in the Beis HaMikdash, when the Shekhinah was present, and then when they used the Shema Mefurash, so then it was much more of a heebie-jeebie type of thing. They weren't supposed to look at them because the Shekhinah was present and it was the real deal. It's different than the halacha nowadays when you shouldn't look at them, where it's downgraded to a simple concern about Hesach Hadas, about being distracted and not having the proper kavana. Okay. Now a little bit of agadah about Birkas Kohanim. Amar of Yehoshua ben Levi. Minayin shakadosh baruch hu mis'avel Birkas Kohanim. How do we know that Hashem looks forward to Birkas Kohanim. Shenemar v'samu es shemi al b'nei Yisrael v'ani avarachem. Because it talks about Hashem kind of joining the party, right? That they're going to bless the people. V'ani avarachem. And I'll also do it. That implies that Hashem is kind of excited about this idea. He's right on board. V'amar av Yeshua ben Levi. Kol kohen shemavarech misbarech. any Kohen that participates in Birkas Kohanim, he himself will be blessed, which is good for the Kohanim. But they might feel like they're losing out on being blessed by the Kohanim. But the answer is they kind of get a blessing just by having participated in giving. It's like when lawyers have to take CLEs, right? So the lawyer who gives the CLE gets triple credit. So similar, a Kohen who gives the bracha, he also gets credit. He gets the bracha as well. And conversely, v'she'enu mevarech, if a Kohen declines participation, he doesn't participate in Birkas Kohanim, ein mesparech, then he's not blessed. Shenemar v'avarecha mevarechecha, those who bless will be blessed. V'am Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, he says the following, kol Kohen she'enu olu l'duchan over b'shlosha asei. Someone, a Kohen who declines to go up on the Duchen, he doesn't Duchen, he actually is over on three Isra say, because the Pasuk says, Kosev Aruchu, you should bless them in this way. Then it says, Emor Lahem, you should say to them, Visamu es Shemi, and you should place my name. So there are three kind of exhortations to the Kohen to give Birkas Kohen. If a Kohen fails to do it, then he's over on three Asays.
Is that actually how the Monei and Mitzvos do it?
I can't imagine.
Yeah. It's more of a
gadate. I think it's more of a gadate, yeah. Yeah, it's more... Or it's probably one of the rules in the Minyan and Mitzvos that you don't count. Mm-hmm. Like if you have multiple lavin, right? If you eat a sheretz, you're over 39 lavin or something like that. So the Monei and Mitzvos don't... I think that the rule is that it only counts the baseline mitzvah rather than the number of yisurim you're over. Good. Rav Amar, Choshishin Shema Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. Rav says, very practically speaking, if you have a Kohen, you know he's a Kohen, his father's a Kohen, his grandfather's a Kohen, and he doesn't go up, so then people are going to start thinking bad things. They're going to think that his father married a Grusha, a divorcee, and as a result he's a Chalal, and that's why he's ineligible for... You know, he loses his Kohen status. He's a Chalal. He's ineligible to do Birkas Kohanim. Or maybe his father married a Chalutza, a woman who had undergone Chalitza, which would also make him ineligible to be... That's an Isser Drabanan, but it also causes at least a Chalalas Drabanan. It would make him ineligible to give Birkas Kohanim. V'lo Pligi. And Rav, who points out that that there's an issue of, you know, people are going to suspect that he's a Ben Grusha versus... Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who pointed out the lavin that he's over, they're not disagreeing. They're just kind of pointing out variant results of him not going up, and specifically, how the salakul prakim, how the lo salakul prakim. One's referring to a case where the guy never goes up. The guy never goes up. People are going to figure he's a ben grusha ben chalutza. If he sometimes goes up, then maybe people might not think he's a ben grusha ben chalutza because they know he sometimes goes up, but he'll still be over on the three assays for every time he doesn't go up. Bar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So he says, if you didn't make it up there by the time of the avoda, meaning ritzei, you shouldn't go up there. This is an important point he's making, that Birkas Kohanim is tied to the avoda. It's said in that part of Shmona Esrei because it's replicating something that was done in the Mikdash that was tied to the avoda, and not only is it done in that point, but the Kohanim all have to be in place by the time Ritzei starts. And if they miss it, it's too late. We'll clarify that in a moment. But he says the pasuk for that is Shnemar Vayisa Aaron es Yadav El Am Vayivarchem Vayirid Matzos Achatas Ve'olav Ashlamim. It links the avoda, right, Chatas and Olav Ashlamim. It links those to the actual Birkas Kohanim in the Beis Mikdash. Ma'ala Ahlan Ba'avoda, just like over there at the time of Aaron, it was done as part of the Avoda. Afkan Ba'avoda, so too here it's done as part of the Avoda. The Gemara immediately asks a question and says, Ini, is that really true? V'Rav Ami Rav Asi Salki. We know, we were in shul with Rav Ami and Rav Asi, and I guess they were Kohanim, and they actually went after the Avoda, right? All the other Kohanim were up there by the time Ritzei started, and they were the laggards. And they ended up joining in time for the Birkas Kohanim, but they weren't there for the beginning of Ritzei. So what's going on? So the Gemara answer is, Rav Ami, Rav Asi, Meikara Havu Akri Karayu. It was good enough because they moved from their place. They started to make their way to the top, to the Bima, by the time that Ritzei started, and that cats That counts. Mimta lo have a matu hasam. It's just that they didn't make it to the bima by the time the avoda started, and so therefore that's enough. So that, I guess, he leaves you with the rule that the kohanim have to at least start making their way there. And if it's a big shul, you know, I guess you got to time it right. But they have to start making their way up there by the time that Ritzei starts. Ukidatani Rav Oshia, as he also quotes, as Halacha Loshanu El Shul Akaras Raglav. This idea that you, if you miss it, you snooze, you lose. You miss, if you're not up there in time, then you miss that of Berachas Kohanim. That was only referring to where you didn't even leave your place by that point. Of Akaras Raglav Ola. If you started to move from your place by the time the Ritzei started, then you can join Birkas Kohanim.
Yeah, that's why wait before the shul is gone and Kohanim come back into the shul.
That's the Gabbai's job, you know, right? Yeah.
We're waiting is wait for the Kohanim to come in, so at least they can get
a shul. Yeah, yeah. Although they've left their place, I guess, I don't know, they left their place to go wash, so they probably make it at that. I assume that, I don't know, you have to look in the halach and see, Mr. Burr, see what counts. But I'm guessing we're liberal about this. We're not going to bar them from going up there just because they didn't make it in time. Because the Gemara is liberal about it. The Gemara says as long as you, you know, started making your way there. By the way, there's discussion about the Brisker. There's a famous Brisker Rav that asks or that clarifies the following thing. We know that there's a Machlokas Rishonim as to whether Tefillah is Drabanan or Doraisa, right? And the Rambam famously holds that Tefillah every day is a Doraisa. It's a biblical commandment to daven every day. The Ramban says only Beisara and not necessarily a biblical commandment. Here we have Birkas Kohanim, which at least in Eretz Yisrael or among Sephardim is a daily biblical commandment, right? We're supposed to do Birkas Kohanim every day. And the Gemara here links it very closely to the Avoda and to specifically to Ritzei, to the Shemona Esrei. So you're left with a kind of a strange anomaly. According to the Ramban, here you have a biblical commencement of Birkas Kohanim that's, in order to fulfill it, you kind of have to daven, and yet the Ramban holds that davening itself is not the Raisa, right? According to the Rambam, it makes perfect sense. So you have a mitzvah every day to daven, and then you have a mitzvah on top of that every day to do Birkas Kohanim. According to the Ramban, you have this mitzvah every day to do Birkas Kohanim. You do it in the context of tefillah, but what are you piggybacking on? There's no mitzvah to daven in the first place. So you're kind of left with, like, the prerequisite for doing Birkas Kohanim doesn't exist there. So the Brisker Rav points out that this proves that even the Ramban, who holds that it's not necessarily a mitzvah d'oraisa to daven, the cheftza of tefillah, once you actually do daven, there's a kiyum d'oraisa. It's not as if to say, according to the Ramban, if you do daven, then you're not fulfilling a biblical act, a d'oraisa mitzvah. If you do daven, davening is a biblical institution, and you see that from the fact that Birkas Kohanim is tacked on to davening, right? It's kind of like, you know, eating matzah on Pesach. The first night is a mitzvah d'oraisa, a mitzvah chiyuvis. You have to eat matzah, and then the rest of Pesach, it's not necessarily a mitzvah to eat matzah. But once you do eat matzah, you're fulfilling a mitzvah d'oraisa of eating matzah. There's a mitzvah kiyumis of eating matzah. There's a biblical flavor to that mitzvah. And so the same is true here according to the Ramban. There's not necessarily a mitzvah to daven every day, but if you do daven, that action has a biblical flavor to it, as it's infused with a d'oraisa kiyum, and then that provides the platform for doing Birkas Kohanim, Okay, the Gemara now continues and says, what do we have to? Oh, the Tananami. We have a following brisa. Actually, look in the Rashi for this Tananami. The Gemara just picks up in the middle of a brisa. It's hard to understand what this brisa is talking about. So if you look in the Rashi, the Tananami, see it? It's like, 12 lines up from where we are in the Rashi. The Tananami. The Brachos, we learn in Brachos the following Mishnah. Im haftachaso, etc. Reisha hachi isa. The Rashi says, here's the beginning. Let me give you a running start and tell you how this Mishnah starts. Ha'over lifnei ateva, the chazan, the shlich tzibur, who is saying kohanim and then is feeding them the lines one by one, yivarechecha, etc. So that chazan, lo yane amen achar kohanim, mipnei ateruf. He should not answer amen to each of the brachos of the Birkas Kohanim. And the reason for that is because he's going to get confused. Keep in mind, they didn't necessarily have sidurim in the old days. You had to do this by heart. And so we're afraid if he's going to say amen, he's going to forget what he's up to. And so he should just focus on what the next word is. He shouldn't answer amen to the birka, to the brachos of the Kohanim. Vim ein, the Rashi continues, Vim ein sham kohen elahu. Let's say the only one there present who's a kohen is the shliach tzibur. Wait, what if there's only one kohen available, one kohen present, and that guy is the one who the gabbai chose to daven for the amud? So how does that work? What should he now do birkas kohenim in the middle? So the Mishnah says, right, in ein sham kohen elahu, go yisa es kapav shiloti tarif shiloftifter daito b'shuva l'tfilaso. If the one guy who's davening for the tzibur, if the shliach tzibur is the one kohen present, he should not do birkas kohenim, because again we're worried that it's going to mess him up. He's going to do birkas kohenim and then he's not going to say sim shalom, or he's not going to know what he's up to because he doesn't have a sitter in front of him. And he's not going to know, he's going to get confused, he's going to lose the place. Then pick it up from back in our Gemara, Vitananami, right? And then it says, in haftachaso shenose eskapa v'chozer utfoso. However, if he's very confident that he knows this davening very well, he's been the shliach tzibur before, he's even done this kohen shliach tzibur thing, he's very confident that he'll be able to return to where he left off in his tefillah, so then rashai, then he's allowed to do it. The Gemara then says, Vavinam ba, halo akar, Vavinam ba, halo akar.
He didn't go up.
Oh, you have to start, right, exactly. We just said it's very important that you make it up on the bima by the time the Ritzay starts. Here's this guy who we're apparently allowing him to do Birkas Kohanim, and he's exactly where he started. He didn't move at all. So the Gemara's answer is Ella Dinad Porta. It means that he kind of made a gesture, moved his head towards the bima, and that's sufficient to kind of make your way up to the bima. So Hachanami Da'akar Porta. So that shows that you don't really have to move very much. You don't really. We're very liberal with this rule. If for the Shlich Tzibur, all we're going to require is that he kind of make a nod towards the bima. So too any Kohen. Who we're saying, we had started off by saying he's got to make it up there by Ritzay, doesn't really mean he needs to make it up there by Ritzay, he's got to just move a little gesture in that way by the time Ritzay.
So in the Siakapai, you're facing the Tefillah.
Yeah.
The Baal Tefillah, the Shliach Tzibur, is facing the Aron.
Yeah.
So, how
what does he do? Yeah. I don't know. I should have looked it up in the Mishnah Berurah. I'm sure it says.
Once or twice here.
Has that ever happened here?
We've had the Kohen was also the Shliach Tzibur.
And so,
if he's the only one.
Yeah,
we've never had it where he's the only one, I think.
Yeah, not the only one. If he's not the only one, he just stays in his position.
Then he just stays in his position.
Right, but if he were the only one, would he be in the Sabbath? Would he like stay
in
Shabbat?
I don't know if
it would be. We'll look it up in Mishnah Berurah. While you're benching me, we'll look it up and see if it says.
At the first of the tone, then like when he's going down.
Right, it's more complicated.
Here it's, you know, from Ramon Makelin, and it's a very blessed that early shiva, Ramon Makelin, and Tiffy said, early shiva, it's tough.
Okay, just now, just a little more. I got it. Changing topics. V'amar Gishul ben Levi, enosn koshel bracha levarich el tov ayin. You don't give the bracha. You don't let the guy make kiddush unless he's a tov ayin, meaning he's not stingy. Rashi says tov ayin sone betza v'gom lechesed b'mamonan. Someone who doesn't like bribery, and he's liberal with his money, meaning he gives staka. He's not a stingy person. How do we know that? Shnemar tov ayin hu yivarech, hu yivurach, ki nasan milachmo ladal. Right, a person who is not stingy, a person who is a tov ayin, he's the one who should be blessed, because he has given from his bread to the poor. Al tikre yivarech, don't say that he should be blessed. Ela yivarech, he should bless. That's the guy who should bless it. The guy who's not stingy. How do you know that even birds recognize a stingy person? Pasuk in Mishlei, I believe, says someone who puts out a net, right, for nothing he puts out, For nothing, he puts out a net to catch the birds because they stay away because they know he's stingy, right? If a person's trying to catch birds, he's going to put out a net. He's going to put out bait. He's going to put some bird seed on the net. If the guy's stingy, he's not going to put out enough bird seed. And so the birds are not even going to be attracted to his net because they intuit that he is stingy. And so the pasuk refers to him as someone who has put out a net for nothing because he's not even going to attract any birds. Someone who benefits from someone who's stingy over Belav. He is over a lav. Shinemar, and it quotes this other pasuk from Mishlei that says, Al tilachem es lechem ra ayin. I'm going to read it from Mishlei here. Al tilachem es lechem ra ayin v'altis avum at mausav. Do not eat of a stingy man's food. Do not crave for his dainties, it translates it. Ki kamo shar benafsho, kain hu ochel shasei, yomar lach v'libo balimach. He's like one keeping accounts, right? He's keeping careful track of his accounts. Eat and drink, he says to you, but he doesn't really mean it. So that's what the pasuk that was quoted here. So you're over a lav, because it says, altiel, you shouldn't eat from a stingy man's food. Omer over b'shnei lavin, you over on two lavin, because it doesn't just say altiel achem, but it also says altisav. Levi, in eglar rufa ba'alo b'shvil tzari ayin, the only reason why a community would have to bring an eglar rufa, which was the ritual that was done if they found a dead body between two towns, you measure and it's directly in between two towns. Rather, the people from the town should kill a donkey, and the reason they do it is because they say that we're responsible because we didn't offer him food, and as a result, he ended up in getting killed. And how do you know that Eglar Rufa comes because of people who are stingy? Because the pasuk says, "Shenemar v'anu v'amru yadenu l'shafchu asadam azeh." Would anyone think that the elders of the city were responsible directly for this person getting killed? That the thing that they were guilty of, so to speak, was the fact that they let him go without being accompanied, without getting food, and that stinginess, and therefore the Gemara is concluding that it's only it's stinginess that causes this Eglar Rufa situation. Maybe we'll stop there.
Yeah.